Thanks for listening to Leadership Level Up. I'm Brian Prairie.
And I'm Dr. Jeff Williamson.
I am just starting my leadership journey.
And I've been guiding leaders for 30 years.
Our podcast aims to shine a spotlight on outstanding leaders and provide a platform for them to describe their leadership journey and share the guiding principles that have helped them become great leaders.
Welcome to Leadership Level Up. I'm your host, Jeff Williamson, and we're happy to have you with us as we talk about leadership and leaders and all the things that go into the many kinds of leaders and what that looks like in a variety of professions. Today, my friend Dan Hoffmeister is with us. I'm going to tell you a little bit about him, and then I'll formally greet him. But I want to talk about a few of his accomplishments, some of the best things about him, which would be his family, who I've known for years as well. But Dan, most of all, and first of all, is a small town Nebraska kid, grew up there and is a huge, I don't know anybody that's a bigger Cornhusker fan than the Hoffmeisters. Dan is married to his lovely wife, Elizabeth, Dr. Elizabeth Hoffmeister, who was your next door neighbor.
Yes, she was.
And high school sweetheart. Man, is that an American story made for the big screen?
Yep.
Dr. Elizabeth Hoffmeister leads the Prairie Rock Foot and Ankle Clinic. And then Dan, as I mentioned, did his undergrad at the University of Nebraska in journalism. See, I called that
That's
out.
True.
He moved to Chicago in 1987, went to law school, and has been practicing law for over 30 years. He's an equity partner at the international law firm of Reed Smith LLP, which is one of the largest and most highly regarded law firms in the world. Dan's legal practice focuses on the healthcare, insurance recovery, and corporate contract challenges. And he primarily works with large to medium-sized corporations, associations, and nonprofit organizations. And Dan, is not just to me, but in general, Dan is a trusted and valued legal advisor, strategist, and problem solver. We'll talk more about that. Dan and Dr. Liz live in Manteno, Illinois, and have three wonderful adult children who are all grown and out of the home and married with terrific people who I have the pleasure of knowing.
Yep.
And are doing well on their own. But they're Kankakee, Will County kids and all of them. And so this is their home, wherever they go, wherever they roam. And Dan and Liz have been super supportive friends of everything I have been doing over the past year. So good to have you with us. Sometimes I have to get people on the show just so I can spend an hour with them.
Not me.
So welcome.
Call anytime.
That's right. Yeah. That part about trusted legal advisor. I'm like, Dan, you got time for breakfast. I have a couple questions for you.
So, not a problem.
Yeah. It's nice to have that for sure. Yeah. So, you know, you've had three decades in the legal field.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, obviously you have seen leader, you are a leader, you've worked with leaders. And so I, first of all, besides just your Cornhusker story, I'd love to hear a little bit more about how you started to show interest in law. You thought, hey, I'm going to go to college and I'm going to start thinking about law school and I may go this pathway. So I'd love for you to tell us a little bit of your journey almost prior to you being in leadership, being in the law practice.
Sure. Well, I get the question frequently, you know, why did you become a lawyer?
Yeah.
How did that happen? What's wrong with you? You know, that kind of thing. Because sometimes lawyers don't have the best reputation, and that's unfortunate because I think most of the legal community are upstanding folks. Mm-hmm. They're really trying their best. They're trying to help guide, shape society in a really good way for the right reasons. That said, my story goes back to sixth grade. So I surprise usually most folks by saying, you know, when did you know you wanted to be a lawyer? I say sixth grade.
Wow.
And there was a mock trial that they did at a very basic level, of course, at sixth grade. So it wasn't too sophisticated, but I was just randomly chosen to be the prosecutor.
Appropriately so.
Yeah. So I've never practiced criminal law or in that side of it. I've been on the civil side. But nonetheless, my one shot at being a prosecutor was back in sixth grade. I just fell in love with it. And as the story goes, I got to cross-examine a witness. And by the time I was done, she was crying. And I thought, wow, this is great. The power, the you know, the movement of that whole thing was really compelling to me, not to make someone cry, of course, but just to see the pursuit of truth and to bring that out and all the emotions that come with it and trying to manage that and all those type of things was really something. So that struck me and I was hooked from that point on. And then, of course, there was a number of television shows and the like that, you know, had featured lawyers going forward. Perry Mason back in the day.
I remember. I used to watch
it. For those of you who are more mature, you know, so all of that was very intriguing. And so that's what got me started and always wanted to be a lawyer, didn't want to be anything else. Mm. And I thought the best way to law was to have a journalism degree.
Interesting.
To write, to be able to speak and put some thoughts together cogently.
Yeah.
And those type of things. So that's how it began. And then ran up to law school, went out here to Chicago and, you know, did that. The way we went.
So that's a great point. Over my years in higher ed, I know anybody who had been in a legal profession advising students, they'd say, you take all the writing you can get.
Oh, yeah.
You need to be a good writer because you won't just be in the courtroom, in the classroom. You're going to need to write well. Having said that, not everybody picks up a journalism degree in preparation for law school intentionally. Right. So I was interested in hearing a little bit more about why did you land in journalism as opposed to, say, history, political science, et cetera. Yeah.
I did, you know, a fair amount of political science because it was interesting and in the field. But in talking to lawyers, right, and this is kind of leadership 101. And as a young guy, my dad was a big influence on me. Others in my family were influences on me. And they would say, go talk to other lawyers. If that's what you want to be, go talk to them. And so I struck up a friendship with a local lawyer in Norfolk, Nebraska, who went on to run for governor of Nebraska, just super professional, excellent lawyer. His name was Dave Domina, still practices in Omaha. And I watched him and got some advice. And I think he was the one that said, you know, you got to write and a journalism degree would really be smart. And so I actually helped on his campaign when I was at Nebraska doing my journalism degree and the like. So yeah, that's kind of what prompted it was, how can I best prepare myself for a career in law and do that well? So, and it's not the only way, but it was very helpful.
Sure. Well, and you think about it, a good journalist does their research, checks out facts, gets the details.
At least they used to. Yeah.
I've been told that there once was a time.
Yeah, we're joking.
But yeah. I've been told there was a time where, you know, fact checking and talking to multiple people and getting
multiple sources,
and perspectives in order to create the written work. And so,
it's very witness oriented.
It makes
for my
a
field.
Lot of sense now when you describe it that way.
Yeah.
But what is, you know, what a power of influence that someone you held in the highest regard and still do said to you, well, after having been in the law profession this long, you need to write, you might want to think about journalism degree.
Yeah.
And by that suggestion, that had an impact on the course of your life.
Yeah. And I'll give 2 seconds on if we have young lawyers on or lawyers to be, write, learn to write really well. That is what we are missing in the legal field. We are really looking for good writers because that's a bit of a lost art. Just be the way society has gone, the way we, you know, text and not do other things. And really being able to communicate effectively and efficiently the messages we need to get across and be persuasive. That is really key. If you can write, you can work for me.
You'll set yourself apart.
Oh, absolutely. We love that.
Yeah.
And so I think everybody in law would say that. If you can, you know, a lot of us can get up in the courtroom and do those kind of things. Not everybody, but a lot of folks can do that. Writing has become the hard skill. To really get it in quantity.
It sounds like it's almost the secret sauce if a person has the proper experience and education and goes to the law school. And
I don't think it's just law. I think in many, you know, in this field and other fields, if you can write and be persuasive and have good thoughts and organized and all that kind of stuff, boy, you can go a long way.
Right. And then if you can do all those things well in writing and articulate the written word and speak it and present it, man, now you really have your superpowers working in the same direction.
Yeah, it certainly helps. Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd like to touch back to the gentleman you talked about, mm-hmm. who you watched and talked and then worked for his campaign. What were some aspects along with the advice he gave you that you said, I like the way he rolls? I see this, and perhaps others too. You mentioned your parents, you know, great role models.
Oh, yeah.
It's great when our role models start at home.
Yes, absolutely.
So along with your parents and him, what were some things that you saw and said, I think I want to grow up to be like that, whatever I do?
Yeah, he was a man of integrity. That certainly stood out to me. He was polished. He was classy. And he worked really hard. And you could tell, and my parents used him as an attorney, and they had, I think, some dispute. I can't remember what it was all about, but Dave, the lawyer, did a cross-examination and took the witness apart because he went to the fundamentals. I can't remember what the subject matter was, but Dave knew it just as well, if not better, than the expert, the purported expert. Right. Yeah, exactly. So when he was done with that, kind of like my sixth grade experience, there was a different outcome altogether, and to get at the truth and really force a true examination of the facts. Was really compelling to me, mm-hmm. Among other things. And obviously, sure. Even my in-laws, as I've mentioned to you before, have been extraordinary role models for me, particularly on the faith front. You know, my mother-in-law, who you know, is going on 101. She lives on her own. She's independent. And she is a prayer warrior. She is a woman of faith beyond words, frankly. And to see her live life in a way of integrity and values, that impacted me. And then my father-in-law was just the most jovial, jocular, fun guy to be around. And that really made an impact on me. Great guy in every respect, but just so funny. And if you meet my middle son, and all of my kids have some of it in them, they're funny and they get it.
So Bennett's kind of the...
Yeah, he's the most embodied with the Briard jocularity and, you know, funniness and wit and all of those type of things. And it's, you know, it's really cool because it helps on the EQ front.
It does.
You know, to be, see humor for what it is, being amusing to a certain degree.
Right.
You know, all that kind of stuff. That's a powerful weapon too, because it helps diffuse circumstances. You don't always have to be serious, and you don't always have to take yourself seriously. So, which helps.
And that's something I've had to learn over the years of, take my work seriously,
right?
But not myself so much. I really have had to work at that.
You and me both.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, family, in-laws, early influence from an attorney. Who would be some other people in your leadership journey along the way that you'd say, you know, there's somebody, maybe in the law profession, maybe not, who impacted and continues to impact you?
Yeah, I'll give just a couple more legal examples. One was a gentleman named Mark Brand, and he was a partner at the law firms that I started out with. And I watched him practice law as a lawyer and working for him and with others. And to watch him do it, and to he had the gift of connecting with clients and in a really friendship, trusted advisor way. We talked about that term earlier. He embodied that, and he would go to the nth degree for his clients, and he would go visit them, and he would take me with him, which was really not necessary for him to do, but he allowed me to come along and watch him develop relationships, be a leader to his clients and for his clients. And that was super impactful for me, among others. Some of my colleagues, one of which who works at the firm I do now, we were both impacted by Mark in a big way. And if we have success, Mark is high up on that list to help us in our legal practice. And then I had clients that have just been wonderful. They kind of give you your big break, right? When you're a young lawyer, to be able to trust in you and believe in you that you can deliver for them, because it's all about outcomes and you have to do it in a really professional and successful way, and they have to believe in you. So there were folks like Ray Umstead and to this day, Pam Williams and others who are at very large Fortune 500 companies, extremely successful in their own right with lawyers, quality lawyers falling all over them. And for them to trust in you and let you do some of their work has just been wonderful. And there's been many more. I'm just highlighting a couple, and I can't highlight everybody, but boy, those folks have been great. Locally, I think you both know Barry. We both know Barry Huebner. I mean, Matt McBurney and others in our community, Warren and Sharon Owinga. You know, there's a whole bunch of folks I could name, but those are just influencers in the best sense of the term, not just trying to move society, but actually trying to help society become better, help leaders and individuals to become better and to make wiser and better decisions in their lives. They have impacted me significantly. Whenever I would have significant issues or whatever, I would certainly go to Barry and others and try to get some advice, including you at times when I would go and say, you know, what do you think? How do I think through these issues? What's the best perspective? I don't want to lose kind of a God-honoring approach as well as, you know, being wise in all of this and seeing all the perspectives I need to see and appreciate.
I've been tapping on Barry's shoulder every chance I get about coming on.
Yeah, Barry, get on here. Let's go. Stop holding back on the society.
Last time I saw him, I was meeting with someone in Starbucks, and he came in to grab his coffee, and it was just a in and out. I mean, he's like, I saw your message.
I'm gonna jump in there too. So here's a quick Barry Huebner story. Just to you can use this We're going for a after promo, now. Right? So I did some legal work for Barry. Thankfully, I mean he was such an incredible person. So he honored me with allowing him to do legal work with him. We go to a meeting, and it's a high intensity meeting over negotiations for a business deal, and. And we roll in, so I'm ready, and I'm going to be the lead because I'm the lawyer, blah, blah, blah. So we do all that stuff. And then towards the middle to the end of the meeting, Barry speaks. And the folks on the other side of the table would be considered or viewed as super sophisticated, very highbrow, white shoe, the whole deal, right? And then Barry, coming from Kankakee County, and a small-time guy, did not go to college.
Started as a mechanic at Midwest.
Started as a mechanic, worked his way up, then became a CEO.
An owner.
And really one of the most brilliant people I've ever met. And a strategist, tactician, and one with just absolute values and integrity. And he outshined them in that meeting like nobody's business. It was unreal to sit back. And I've been in a lot of high-powered meetings with a lot of very, very capable people. No one was would outshine Barry Huebner from Kankakee County, from Midwest Transit, and from his background. He would out-hustle. He would out-learn research. He would learn. He would grow. He would be flexible. And boy, was he smart. He just had that EQ wisdom thing on steroids. And it was remarkable to watch in those settings. And that's why you got to get him on.
Oh, yeah. And if he was here with us right now, he would have stopped you long.
Oh, absolutely. He would be, I don't know about that, Dan. I don't know about that. Yeah. But I watched it. I was right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I always say you're the king of self-deprecation, but I think Barry's, you and Barry run a close race.
I might be the court jester for him.
I don't know, you know.
Yeah. So, no, he's fantastic.
And that's the most beautiful thing when brilliant people don't really think they're a big deal, even though we know they are. Yeah. That's the kind of people I want to
on that topic. That and this will be the last name dropping I do, but
that's but, okay. I asked you.
I mean, I think folks should not forget their spouse in all of this. I know you mentioned Liz, my wife. When I have challenging situations, obviously I generic them up to keep confidences and all that kind of thing, but to talk to her and to get her perspective on it. And she's so funny. She tells, well, I'm not really much of a leader. I'm like, are you out of your mind? Mm-hmm. And she, speaking of self-deprecating, she's an amazing leader. Mm-hmm. I mean, she owns her own business. She started it from scratch, blah, blah, blah. Right. You know, she's just, and her wisdom, and I think anybody from our spouses or someone's really close to us to get their perspective on things that we really trust because they care deeply about you. That's a perspective you don't want to miss in these. And that has helped me navigate lots of sticky, tough, challenging issues in life, including in the law, because I would run stuff by her and just to get her perspective. I always run like my closing arguments.
Here's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. I said, this is my theme. What do you think? What's this? Is this?
And Liz will tell you.
Oh, she will. She will tell you. Yeah. She is not shy. Mm-hmm. She's a very strong woman, which is beautiful and absolutely what you want. Mm-hmm. And no, she's fantastic. So, yeah.
I often call those kinds of people, and you're on my personal board of directors. Yeah. And when I talk about having a personal board of directors, you're in that crew that I'm honored. Like, if I really need to sort something out or I'm really hurting or I'm going through loss, I'm going to be in touch with my board of directors. And you know, Liz is a number one member of your personal board of directors, absolutely, among others.
Yep.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's the thing. I get, you were asking me before we came on about, where did my interest in leadership begin? Mm-hmm. And I think part of the reason that I chose to study that mid-career and now spend time helping and working with leaders is that it's so fascinating because there are so many ways that you can be an incredible leader, you know, like a Barry Huebner, who's a gentle, quiet spirit and is the smartest guy you'll ever probably know.
Yep.
And there are other types of individuals who are great leaders that are nothing like that. And so I think I love the beauty of that. We all have a potential to be leaders because we all are influencers. And then the choice we make is, how good of an influencer am I? Am I influencing people in good directions toward love and service and others and community? Or am I a leader that's going to get mine?
Yeah. Well, and we talked about, I think everybody's a leader in some way or some fashion. So you can't take a pass on learning leadership. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what makes you and your organization so great is you're out helping people. Every single one of us need to get better at our leadership and thinking through those issues in whatever touch points, whatever relationships we have, our family. I mean, just it goes across the board of being a good leader, an active leader, a growing leader. And you help with that.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Well, along with the different individuals you've talked about, one of the questions that I enjoy asking someone is if you could go back and give some advice to young Daniel. Maybe, you know, you're...
We don't
have
that kind of time.
Well, you're going to have to pick a nugget or two.
All right.
But, you know, knowing what you know now and the things we've learned along the way since you and I were young men, what would be a couple nuggets of advice if you could go third person and say, hey, listen, young man, here's what I'd like to share, a couple things with you.
Yeah. So, interestingly, I have been really honored to be part of a small group of 20-somethings, and you and I have talked about this before. So these are 20-something men that are trying to get life going and get it going well and making really good decisions, wise and growing. And so for some reason, they have allowed me to hang with them and speak into their lives.
Isn't that the
coolest? It is absolutely amazing. And one of the really the greatest honors I've had lately in my life is just to be able to walk alongside them, maybe drop a nugget or two to see if it makes sense to them. And learn from them at the same time. It's an equal exchange,
right?
Which has been great. So I'll talk about that in a second. Let me circle back to the legal side. The young Dan, I wish I would have taken more risks. I wish I would have pushed for trying small cases early. I was at pretty sophisticated big firms in Chicago through all of my career. And so, but you can seek out they're rare, unfortunately, in bigger firms, but you can seek out smaller cases and get involved in those and try those cases. I wish I would have done, I've done some of it, but I wish I would have done more, because then you become better by doing and take your lumps, because you're going to make mistakes. You're going to not do it the best way, and you can improve in that process. So this is what I tell the young guys in our 20s group here locally in Kankakee County is, you know, make your mistakes now. And nobody wants to make mistakes, of course, and we're not trying to make mistakes, but take the risks that mistakes sort of come along with on occasion, but do those now and spread your wings. And I know you've talked about this before. Now's the time to be a little more flexible, to go out there and explore,
right?
All that kind of stuff, I think, is really important. And it's the same in your legal career and probably any career, frankly.
Right.
You know, explore, look, you know, test some boundaries, grow in as big a way as you possibly can.
Right. And I think in those early years when, you know, what I call emerging leaders, I'd like to think there's a little more grace for them if they're fresh out of law school or fresh out of of college, and they're excited and they're in, have energy and they have desire. If they miscue once in a while, I think most of us would go, okay, let's do that different next time. But it's this, it's kind of their first rodeo.
I know most partners at law firms love associates that will try and give that effort. And most of them will. I mean, we're at pretty sophisticated law firms. Yeah. We're getting sort of the cream of the crop.
Yeah.
And so that's good. But those who are really willing to step out and do that and take some risks, because, you know, everybody wants to, especially in the legal field, you're just like, I can't be wrong. I can't do anything. I can't stub my toe. I can't look bad. I can't mess up this word or whatever. And early on, there's probably more grace than they think, because I think we as partners will, we've been there too. We know. And we'd love to see you growing and trying to get better in that and have that coachable spirit.
Yeah.
And that helps us go. And, you know, we know after 30 years of doing this or more that, you know, we're going to make mistakes. Even the 30-year-old vets occasionally will, you know, stub their toe and could have done it better or whatever. But we just, we always are trying to get better.
Well, thanks so much for being with us. I think we're now around our 50th episode, maybe somewhere like that, that we've recorded. And I'm always amazed how quickly the time goes, because I just get to hear nuggets and feedback from all kinds of different leaders. So it's always great to spend time with you, and particularly have you on the podcast. So thanks for being here with us and talking us through some of your leadership principles and things you've learned along the way. Thank you.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you. It's been an honor.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Leadership Level Up. Please subscribe so you don't miss future conversations with great leaders.